This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Crossing the field left side, it's Cooper Kupp at the 10, to the 5, to the pylon. Touchdown, Cooper Kupp. Touchdown, LA! Cooper Kupp to the end zone for the second time. It's a blowout in the Meadowlands.
That it was. And it is.
Can we at least buy Chris some dinner or something first? Can we give him some appetizers before we just go for the juggler, man?
What do you mean?
I mean, like, why we have to hit him with the Cooper Kupp and all that stuff, yeah, man? We couldn't go brought down by Big Chris Canty.
Yeah, we could have had
that. Something like that. Like a highlight Michaels to bring him in. Yeah, man.
Well, before we do that,
I just want Chris to understand that was done by a Giants fan. But I don't know where Bubba sits.
No, Bubba's a Cowboys fan.
I mean, that's what I mean, a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, Chris played for the Cowboys.
Yeah, but I don't know where Bubba, he may feel like Chris is a traitor. He may feel like Chris was a traitor and he wanted to go off from greener pastures. And now guess what?
Well, we got a lot to do here before we even introduce Chris. It is hour number 3, and what is that, Bart Scott?
The Bawa Awa!
I just like doing that, so I wanted to get that done. Secondly, of course, Chris Kenny joins us right now.
I just wanted to throw Bubba
on the Goodyear hotline.
I feel like Chris broke his heart.
Well, let's do that now. So Chris is here. Bubba, I need you to just jump on the mic and explain, as you wear a Dak Prescott jersey pretty much every day, was that a personal Cowboys fan shot at Chris Canty because he went to the Giants?
No, it was not an attack on my man Chris. Nothing against him. It was just an attack on the Giants here. You know, I'm just playing production here because I'm just trying to up the production value on the show. So
that's all he's doing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to up the production value. I'm playing it. You know,
can I
played it open and then I played a rejoin.
Yeah,
were you upset at Chris? Like, did you like want to bury his jersey or burn his jersey like the Pats fans
personal
did when he went to Tampa Bay?
Man, I ain't LeBron James. What are you talking about?
you big Chris Canty.
It was you and
Ratcliffe, right? Well, no, Ratcliffe, y'all was the tallest basketball team, football players in the game going on right now, man.
Man, I'm not going to let you throw dirt on my man's name, too. It's Ratcliffe, not Ratcliffe, first of all.
It's been all day.
I'm just horrible with names.
Put some more respect.
No, listen, at least I have tremendous respect. You and him had the best like face mask too, man. It was gangsta, all the bars and stuff. Mm-hmm. I ain't never trying to diss. I'm trying to get to you and Bubba and figure out why.
Listen,
Bubba wanted
to
do
Bart,
like
too
that.
Bad, Bart, too bad Jerry Jones didn't see it the same way and make sure that I got paid along with Jay.
Cheese on the taco. That's what matters most.
But Bart, to answer your question, because I know you were so concerned with how I was feeling yesterday being back at MetLife Stadium, which feels like an extension of the Factory of Sadness from Cleveland.
Ooh.
But you know, I was basking in the glow of the Giants' 4th Lombardi Trophy and the Super Bowl ring and just hearing all of the different accounts from the guys over the course of this weekend. And the highlight for me was when Brandon Jacobs was going back and forth with Rex Ryan, your former coach with the New York Jets and now your podcast partner, after the game. And he just said the short, sweet sentence, "Shut up, fat boy." Then we walked off the field. With you guys' season going to end, you know, the following week, week 17,
Chris, poised to be able
to go to the playoffs, all as long as we took care of our business against the Cowboys.
It was
nice to relive that moment and just hear everybody talking about the different stories. And it just, you know, even though the Giants on the field yesterday didn't look great and it was an embarrassing loss to the Rams, we still have that to hold on to.
As a former alum of the franchise,
like we still have a Lombardi Trophy in recent memory that we can hang our hat on. You know what I'm saying? So that's I take solace in that fact.
Well, listen, in a couple of years, kids will never even realize it. You don't understand? Kids don't even know what the Fresh Prince was. So listen, I wouldn't be patting you can pat yourself on the back because you guys got a great thing.
No,
but the organization,
actually, about 60,000 fans patting me on the back when I came out of the tunnel yesterday. That was cool.
What I'm saying is the team is in disarray.
I posted the video on IG in case you didn't see it.
Yeah,
just so you can take a look at it.
That was good. Steve Weatherford, you're welcome. We gave him to you. You're welcome. he won the Super Bowl for y'all by placing the kick down.
Oh. Yeah, and all he gave you was a shake weight.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he gave me internal friendship.
But Chris, what?
I didn't even know I was being attacked. I mean, I was just really concerned. I was here to tell him congratulations.
We got to understand
how did it feel, but
we,
I didn't.
We got to explain to those who are just joining the show now in the 2 o'clock hour that this show began with Bart wreaking havoc around the NFL as we had calls at the very beginning of the show from both sides of the Cowboys and the Patriots off that game. So off that game, which was an amazing ending and a lot of thrills and everything else, and the Cowboys with their record and Mac Jones still showing you a little something, Bart found a way to piss off both fan bases in one basically take off of one game yesterday. And so that's how this day began. So you understand where we're at right now.
How did he do that? How'd you do that, Bart? That's an incredible feat.
I have a great talent. Yeah, I'm a tremendous agitator, Chris.
Did
you find anything wrong with the Cowboys being able to find a way to win when they didn't play their best football yesterday in Foxborough? What was wrong with that?
Well, no, I was talking about the ineptitude of the head coach and how he's going to make them lose a game. Why was he going for it on fourth down in their own territory when they should be playing an inferior team? And he's going to cost them a chance at a championship because his decision-making, his clock management, he seems like they're winning in spite of him, not because of him. And people took offense to that. I mean, I thought I was stating Captain Obvious.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you on that one, but you know how it goes in the locker room when you're huddled up like players typically do. Like, you have to find ways to be able to overcome bad coaching. And we've seen Mike McCarthy, when it comes to game management, leave something to be desired. You're just hoping that the brilliance of Kellen Moore, coupled with outstanding play from Dak Prescott, especially in the clutch, is going to be enough to put your team in positions more often than not where you come out on the winning side of those ball games. And Dak Prescott down the stretch in that game was money. The last possession of regulation, being able to hit that dagger on 3rd and 25 to CeeDee Lamb to set up that Greg Zuerlein field goal. And then in overtime, the dude's a perfect 5 for 5, and then he ends up hitting CeeDee Lamb for the touchdown and the win. So, I mean, when you got Dak Prescott playing at that kind of level and the genius that is Kellen Moore orchestrating the different pieces in the scheme, I'm telling you, man, this Cowboys team is going to be a tough out.
All right, but that's – and they look like they're already going to dominate the NFC East, but a team that Bart thought could push them to win that NFC East was the Giants, and they just
– I said the Giants, right, and Chris come with all this all this hate.
So they get embarrassed at home again, by the way. Like, this is the Rams winning 38-11 in a game that did – early on felt like, oh, maybe it's competitive. And then in a blink of an eye, that second quarter, it's like, all right, nope, game over. Chris, what do you see happening, aside from, of course, all of the injuries that they have gone through? But there's a lot of now questions after this – about whether or not Joe Judge is even the right coach for this team. I don't know if you heard Dan Orlovsky kind of call him, what do you call him, Timmy Toughnuts, because he just pushes his team and you know, all these demands in training camp and playing Daniel Jones, even though the game was completely out of hand, playing him late, coming off a concussion. There's a lot of things where he feels like this is the fastest way to lose a group is to be a tough-nosed coach like that and not get wins. Are you seeing that maybe developing as an issue now with the Giants?
Yeah, I mean, that's a problem. And it's not like we haven't seen this movie before. Now, certainly not with the Giants, but around the league when it comes to Belichick disciples not working out. I mean, that's really what it is, right? Coaches come in with this machismo, with this disciplinarian, you know, hard-nosed attitude, and they don't seem like they're willing to be flexible with today's athlete. And if you don't have the results, if you're not winning football games, then that's the easiest way to lose the ear of the locker room. And I feel like we're teetering dangerously close to Joe Judge doing that with the Giants. I mean, last year, getting out to a slow start, we could all understand, right? It was a COVID year, no OTAs, modified training camp with no preseason games. You get why they could start out 1-7, and it became a little bit easier for the fan base to stomach when you saw the second half and they went 5-3. I mean, when you look at this season, there's no excuse for the slow start. And people don't want to hear about injuries and guys being out of the lineup because every team has to deal with that. Your head coach has to be able to find a way to manage that and still put this team in positions where they can be consistently competitive. And that's not how you can describe the Giants right now, and certainly not how you could describe their performance yesterday.
Now, there were already question marks about Dave Gettleman and his future, right? After you know, some drafts that have been questionable and an offensive line that continues to – although I don't think they'd given up a sack until yesterday. It's been a couple of weeks. But
didn't take long yesterday, did it?
No, it did not. It did not, especially, again, your quarterback coming off a concussion. But do you think now, considering now all of a sudden there's now everybody's looking at Joe Judge, could this be like a full house cleaning? Like, this season, which is already off to an awful start, just stays along this line. Injuries are not as an excuse. Can you see this as, and I don't know if you've even been around, like, you know, what are the alumni even talking about? Like, is it like, no, got to clean this thing out?
Yeah, I think we're going to start hearing that conversation get amplified a little bit, Alan. I mean, the noise around Dave Gettleman. I mean, that's at a fever pitch, that conversation. But I think now people are going to start looking at the other areas that need to change, and Joe Judge is going to be front and center in that conversation. Like, it just feels like with each passing game, each passing loss, and then hearing the post-game sound bites where yesterday he decided to bring in the analogy of the submarine for God knows what reason, like, it just gets to the point where you wonder whether or not your head coach can find a way out of this in terms of getting the program back on solid footing. And I have my doubts, man. I mean, last year there were some things that happened that you heard about. I mean, the Mark Colombo thing, how he handled Golden Tate. Like, there was, you saw this year in training camp, you had all of the veteran players. I think you had 3 veteran players retire in a calendar week during the preseason. Like, all of those little things, you start to wonder, okay, is this going to yield the results that Giants fans are looking for? Like, is this going to be something that's tangible, something that you can point to in terms of the results on the field and feel like the Giants are headed down the right track? And so far, you can't say that. So when you think about that, when you think about some of the injuries that the Giants players have been suffered, especially receivers with soft tissue injuries, you start to wonder, maybe Joe Judge, in terms of his messaging and his approach, might not be something that works in today's NFL. So, I mean, you are what your record says you are. That's what Bill Parcells used to always say to us. And right now, under Joe Judge, the Giants are a bad football team. So, yeah, I think it's fair to question whether or not he's going to have his job at the end of the season.
I want to see if this is the cut you're talking about when you talk about the submarine thing. Is this it?
I'm just telling you this right now. Like, we don't have a room full of guys right now looking around and wondering. We don't have a room full of guys who are waiting for next year. We don't have a room full of guys who are waiting for someone to show up and save us. Okay, the only one who can make an impact to change anything that we're doing are all the men in that room. The coaches, the players, that's it. Okay, so we're in that submarine right now. Hmm. All right, something happens wrong in that submarine, it's got to be someone on that ship to step up and save that thing, right? You spring a leak, someone's got to plug that thing for you. No one's coming. No one get there in time to help you if you don't fix it yourselves. So we rely on ourselves.
I thought that was pretty good. That's good coach speak right there. I have no problem
to the media.
That. Yeah, I have no problems with that. The issue is, like, if you fire Joe Judge, once again, you've gone from McAdoo, Shermer. Now you become one of these organizations that, first of all, you're probably paying 2 coaches at the same time as you bring in a third. And you become one of these organizations that coaches don't want to go to because they feel like they're on a short leash because, you know, the Giants succumb to the pressure of New York media. Now, I don't want to focus too much on the Giants right now. I want to get Chris's opinion on what he thinks about who is the best 5-1 team, because I know it's Dallas Cowboys are right there, but it's some other teams that are 5-1. You think about, you know, and you can throw the Cardinals in there at 6-0. You have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You throw the Cardinals in there at 6-0. I mean, you put the Cardinals ahead of everybody else in the NFC, don't you?
I don't.
You don't? See, you listen, don't. Chris,
last year the Steelers were 11-0.
That was Fugazi 11-0. Oh, no, we all knew that was Fugazi.
No, that's Fugazi. No, they're 137-yard field goal from a kicker at anything from losing to Minnesota, and now we want to act like, oh, they're invincible. Like, come on, man. Okay, so like I said, let's put Tampa Bay in there. Let's put the Cardinals in there. Let's put the Dallas Cowboys in there. Let's put the Baltimore Ravens in there. And I'm forgetting one more 5-1 team, Green Bay Packers in there. Who do you think is the best team, and who's trending in the right direction? Bills as well.
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, I think there's that handful of teams that are just a cut above the rest of them. I've got Dallas, Tampa Bay, the Rams, and the Cardinals in the NFC, and then I would probably put Buffalo in that conversation as well as Baltimore. Those to me are the teams that everybody's got to be paying attention to in the NFL. Like, there usually only are about, you know, 6 or 7 teams that actually have a chance of lifting the Lombardi Trophy at the end of the year. And I think that's the group that we're talking about when we start looking at who has the best record in the NFL. I think those are really, really good teams. I believe in the way that they're built, their overall football philosophy. And those are teams that are well coached. So I think at the end of it, like, there's going to be some movement. There always is. Teams go through ebbs and flows. I mean, listen, we're celebrating the 2011 Giants team. That team lost 4 games in a row at one point in that season and was still able to find a way to get back on the other side of it. And you know, win when it really mattered. So I believe in those 6 teams. There's always going to be a surprise team that pops up. We'll see who that ends up being. But I think those are the 6 best teams in the National Football League.
Talking with Chris Kenny, Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. Kenny on, of course, with Kenny and Golic Jr. coming up after our show nationally. Chris, I know Bart wants it. No, no, because I know Bart doesn't want to talk about the Giants, but I feel like you're the guy to ask here on this question.
Why
so I want to go back.
I want to talk about
the Giants. You just said I don't want to talk about the Giants. You literally said that. Yeah. I want to go back on something, though, because there were expectations. They do have, at full health, the roster looks like one that should be
not an excuse.
A good team. And then the defense, which, I mean, what injuries, what major injuries do they have on the defense? The defense has been really bad this year.
McKinney, right. But Peppers hasn't been good this year. Bradbury hasn't been good this year.
All right, so the question I wanted to ask, Chris, is it, all right, clean house if that's the way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But you watch them regularly. What do they need? What are they missing? What is wrong with the organization that you feel like you got to do this? Like, everybody always says, get rid of everyone. But no one ever has the answer of how to fix it. What would you say you need to do to fix it?
Alan, name me the pressure players that you have on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, Ozeez is I like Ozeez as a natural knee bender. Waistbender as well. I just think that they made a mistake by putting Leonard Williams inside.
Let me reframe that, Bart. When they're doing the game planning at the beginning of the week, the opposing offenses, the guys that they have to circle, like, this is a guy that is a game wrecker. He'll destroy our game plan. We got to account for him for multiple blockers damn near every play. Who are those guys?
Supposed to be Leonard Williams. That's what you paid him for. Okay. Like, and I think they got him out of position.
Okay, so you got one?
One.
That's a prop.
Most guys have one. Dexter Lawrence, you know, they are missing Blake Martinez.
Is he an impact player? I mean, he's got to be somebody that you've noticed his
absence.
Hold up,
man. This defense, from a personnel standpoint, like, sometimes you don't have, like, we never had a true pass rusher with the Jets, but we got to the passer. We did it a different way. We had lockdown corners, and they supposed to have two lockdown corners. When you think about Jackson,
they don't, Bart. Bradbury just went to the Pro Bowl last year. Bradbury is out there getting cooked, Bart. Their entire secondary is. They're where they're at for a reason, Bart. We can't just do this thing based on reputation. There's got to be some substance behind it. Right now, the Giants have the 22nd-ranked passing defense and 27th defense overall, 29th scoring defense. Yeesh. I mean, that's not – they can have good play. Okay, you saying that they got good players. Well, if they got good players, why aren't they playing well? Like, at some point, we have to start asking those difficult questions. And if you're saying personnel-wise they're good, then that's not the general manager you're pointing to. You're pointing to the head coach and his staff.
So we
got to figure it out. Who do we want to point the blame on? Is it Joe Judge? Is it Dave Gettleman? Is it both?
I think the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle.
We've got to be honest about where the New York Football Giants are. They're 19-51 since the start of 2017. It's the worst program in the NFL. It's like the early 2000s Cleveland Browns. That's where they're at.
But what I'm saying is, Chris,
that's a reality.
So I think it does go to the head coach. Because the head coach is the one who decided that he wanted to get rid of some of the coaches that were on the staff and bring in more coaches than any organization in football. They gave him power to hire who he wanted to
hire.
Remember,
he said he was bringing in teachers.
Right.
He was big on teaching.
No, but I'm saying this year he got rid of some of the other people he brought in.
Right.
So, like, you have to go to a defense coordinator. If I give you all the ingredients, if I'm Dave Gettleman, it's up to you, Joe Judge, to hire the right people to be able to cook the meal. Like, and listen – I know a lot of coordinators could get a lot of talent and a lot of productivity out of these type of pieces. Like you can argue that the Jets have way less half the pieces that the Giants have. But the defense looks better.
Yeah. That's why I asked the question, Chris.
I will say this. The cap situation for both of those franchises couldn't be on more opposite ends of the spectrum. Because, I mean, if you look at the Giants, they don't have a lot of wiggle room when it comes to the structure on those contracts. They got a ton of draft picks next year, but in terms of being able to reshape this roster, if in fact it is a personnel problem, if you're pointing the finger more so at Dave Gettleman than Joe Judge, I mean, there's not a ton of flexibility when it comes to their cap situation, which is why I'm not necessarily bullish on the Giants' outlook for the next several seasons. I mean, you got questions about who your quarterback is going to be. You got questions about your head coach. You got questions about your general manager. That is the worst position for your franchise to be in. And, guys, I don't see a clear path out of this thing unless they're talking about cleaning house and determining to get somebody in there, a fresh set of eyes to be able to fix all the different issues that have been going on. That's where I'm at with the Giants right now. I hate saying that. Because I love that franchise. I got blood in the ground. But that's how bad it is, guys. And being in that stadium yesterday and leaving in the middle of the third quarter and seeing half the fans leave with me at the same time, that's disheartening.
Yeah, and being blown out at halftime the way they were by, what, 25 points? I mean, you haven't seen that in a number of decades.
Alan, we were going from the suites onto the field. By the time we got down there, it was a 7-3 ball game. By the time we left the suites and got into the tunnel to go on the field, it was 28-3.
Yeah, 25 points.
Didn't know what happened.
It was, like I said, it was a blink in the eye. That game got away. You know, that escalated quickly. I mean, 25 points at halftime at home since 1992. I mean, think about that. Since 1992 and anywhere at all, not just home, since 2009. So that's why it was historic, unfortunately, as they were also honoring a historic Super Bowl for them. And you know, I'll leave it here, Chris. I'm big on identity with certain franchises, especially ones that are a brand name. And I feel like the Giants have gotten away from that identity. And that identity, of course, was what you guys have when you won that Super Bowl they were celebrating, which is a tough, rugged defense and a running game with an offense with a quarterback who just knew how not to lose you the game, right? That was pretty much it. A big line on both sides of the line of scrimmage, but a tough defense. That's the identity of the Giants when they're great. They've gotten away from it trying to become this offensive team. It didn't work. How do they get back to that? That, of course, is the question. We'll see who's the one to give that answer.
Alan, Chris, I want to also inject this.
Yep.
Player leadership on that team was huge.
Fair point.
Player leadership.
You've talked about that a lot.
It's a different vibe, man. I mean, being around the 2011 guys, you had Justin Tuck. You had OCU Manure. You had Eli Manning, Chris Snead, David Deal. I mean, names that Giants fans know. Guys that were all about winning. They were all about making all the sacrifices that it took. Tom Coughlin was a great coach, and I'm not taking anything away from him, but Tom Coughlin empowered the players to take control of that team. He used to refer to himself as our mirror. He would just tell us what he saw, but it was up to us to decide what kind of team that we wanted. Guys like Antoine Roll and Deion Grant, they set the tone for this team. I don't know who those guys are for this version of the Giants, and until they find those guys, they're not going to be able to fight their way out of it. They're going to be on that submarine with Joe Judge still sinking.
Chris Canty on the Goodyear Hotline. Great stuff as always, Chris. Thanks so much.
Give me the key.
Chris is the man.
Give me the key.
Chris Canty giving us that straight
talk. Give me the key, damn it.
Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no
Red
compromise.
So you missed it. Denzel, Gene Hackman.
I'm just looking at the time knowing that we have to go. I did get the reference. All right, so we'll get your calls on the Giants. How do you fix them? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. They need a complete house cleaning? We'll discuss next. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
That escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
The NFL is on. Key, Jay, and now Max Kellerman.
He's in the same boat as about five or six quarterbacks in the National Football League right now. Somebody's sitting there waiting for him to slip up.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. If you missed Chris Canty, and if you are a Giants fan, you need to hear this so you can get it on the podcast. Anywhere you get your podcast, just put in Bart and Hahn. Subscribe so you don't miss a thing, but you definitely want to hear the passion, first of all, that emanated from Chris Canty, who was Super Bowl champ with the Giants in 2011. But also just his reasoning about where they are and why. That you absolutely need to hear. Meanwhile, of course, as we continue on the show, brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward, Goodyear more driven. Bart, let's just dive a little deeper into the Giants situation because they are one of the major disappointments, right? Would you call the Cleveland Browns a disappointment? I mean, they're injury riddled too, but still.
Yeah, it's still
3-3.
It's still hopeful.
Still early. Okay, still so they're not.
Three losses.
So the Giants are a much bigger disappointment because you really thought that they were going to be a good team. How about Leonard Williams after game? Like Kenny told you, the whole halftime, the fans are booing like crazy as the Giants leaving the field down 25 points, which at home for the first time in three decades. I mean, they haven't done that at home. Be down by 25 or more points at halftime. I know it's the Rams, but still. Leonard Williams after the game said, I don't want to be hearing boos from my own fans.
This is a New York thing.
He said, I understand they have the right to boo and the right to be upset as well because they're coming to see us put good football on the field. We haven't been winning up to date. But at the same time, I don't know. I don't like that.
Nobody likes to be booed, right?
Of course not. But why say that? Is it really necessary? Like when you're getting booed.
Somebody asked him and he was being honest. That's all.
What'd you think of the booze? All right, Bart, if I asked
it's
you.
It's the same thing that the Mets had to deal with. The same thing John Carlos
had that work out for
with?
The Mets? It's just, you know, again, it's when you know your team stinks, you stink, right? When you know you're bad, you're bad. You're getting booed for a reason.
He added, though,
it doesn't matter what I think. I go out there to play football. I don't sit in the stands, so I can't see it from their perspective. How do you not see it from their perspective?
It's hard when you're in the stuff, man. Like it's like you like, hey, I'm playing as hard as I can. I got three sacks. I'm doing my job. When you boo, you're booing everybody.
Therein lies the reason. Don't
everybody's
you think?
Everybody's not playing bad, but when you boo, it's not specific. You're booing everybody. So some guys be like, hey, I'm playing my heart out. Like you talk about like a team or you have a player that's playing great, right? And he's playing hard and he's breaking out and all that type of stuff. And you're booing him too. And he's like, man, I'm giving you my everything I got.
But it ain't about you. It's about the team. People boo the team. Bad performance by a team.
I get it.
And you're 1-5.
Listen, Leonard Williams gets it too. This ain't his first rodeo. I don't know if he got booed as a Jet.
Well, I mean, you could probably guess.
Expectations.
He's lived through that certainly as well. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We have to go to Adam in Florida about the Giants. Adam.
Oh, what's going on, gentlemen? I am completely, completely dissatisfied with this whole organization. I can tell you right now, Gettleman. I don't know why he still got a job. Joe Judge. This is a guy that's been in the podium before, saying that he was going to punch every team in the mouth every four quarters. I haven't seen that done lately. I can tell you right now, there's a lot of changes that need to be made. We need to figure out what we're going to do with quarterbacks. We need to figure out the styrofoam wall of an offensive line that we have going on. Because obviously they can't protect the run game. And, seeing Barkley on the sideline again kind of hurts me as a Giants fan. So I'm just disappointed overall. This has just been a pure disappointment. And if I was in that stadium yesterday in Jersey, I can tell you right now, I would have been booing as well.
Adam, do you give him anything at all about how just they lost Tony yesterday, Kadarius Tony? Like, don't you at least look at it and think, I mean, the whole offense is just pretty much everybody's hurt and the quarterback is coming off a concussion. There's no part of you that feels like I got to at least give him that, or do you just want to buy it?
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, yeah, the wide receiver position is, obviously when a wide receiver goes down, it's huge. But why are you going to put Daniel Jones in a situation like one of the calls yesterday that he tried to go for a first down?
Oh, my God.
And he did a quarterback sneak. Why did Joe Judge decide to call that play, all right, after coming back from a concussion?
Well,
I mean, that is completely unacceptable.
That, Adam, and thanks for the call. That and also you're getting blown out in the third quarter. By the fourth quarter, why is he even playing? That's the question. Now, Joe Judge did talk about the halftime thing about being down 25 in the speech to the team.
Yeah, when I challenge guys at halftime, I want to see who's going to finish the game. I want to see what kind of fight some of these guys had. So we'll go through the tape, but there are some guys I could see with the eye test right away. There are some guys that fought and finished right there, and that's how we're going to do things around here. So we're going to compete for 60. We got to do some things technically better, fundamentally better, better calls at times, but I want to see who's going to finish this game, who's going to fight.
Bart, was that the right thing to do with Daniel Jones of all the players?
I mean, see what he's saying. He's trying to set a foundation of competition. He's only in year two of his program. So he's trying to reset and say, listen, I don't care what the score is. This isn't about wins or losses. This is about who's going to stay in this boat and continue to row in the right direction and who's not going to be on this boat next year. So if you want to be here, let me see what type of fight you got. It's not about what the score is. It's about, okay, when we go out here, we're going to see who wins one play at a time type of thing. All coaches do that. All programs kind of hit that wall. The problem is, and the reason why, the Giants have no equity with their fans because this has been 10 years in a row. Mm-hmm. So for Joe Judge, he's saying, hey, man, I'm trying to get this program right. This only year two of my program. Remember Jimmy Johnson, right? Jimmy Johnson had the worst record, not one, not two, I think 3 years, and it's the fourth year where they kind of figured it out. Like, it's one of those things where he feels like he's developing and building his program, but people have the patience, like, you know, this is still McAdoo trying to build it, or this is still Shermer trying to build it. And he's like, listen, I'm not going to cheat the process. It's a foundation I got to lay here. And the problem is he has players that cost a lot of money. So this is not a full rebuild right, where he's developing a program. These are grown men, veterans that he's talking to. Peppers, Bradbury, Adoree Jackson, Leonard Williams. Like, at this point, Dexter Lawrence. These are all people that have been in the league for a long time. You shouldn't have to be having a conversation about competing with them or going out and fighting. Let's see who's going to compete. You shouldn't have those conversations with them, because if they're tuning you out already, you got to get them out of here and get new people in here that never heard your little rah-rah speech.
Yeah, and that's something that, of course, we heard Dan Orlovsky talk about earlier today on Get Up.
And when you have as this coach this mindset of, you're going to do it my way, 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 and I'm talking at you and talking at you and talking at you as a grown adult instead of talking with you and with you, eventually players just get sick and tired of that. And you, as a coach, trying to depict being so tough. I've played in situations like this when the coach tries to be this super rah-rah tough guy, you know, they grind on you and the losses happen. Players don't like that. Mm. And to be down 38-3 when basically everybody on your football team is hurt, on your offense, Saquon's not in there and Galladay wasn't in there and Tony's not in there and everybody on your offense is down. Daniel Jones got knocked out of the game last week, and it's 38-3, and you still have him in the game taking hits, and I'm sitting there going, well, this is stupid. It's stupid. And when you're that Timmy Toughnut coach and your losses are happening and you're doing stupid stuff, eventually players are going to start to turn you out, and it happens fast.
Yeah.
They just tune you out.
And that is something, of course, that you have to watch now for the rest of the season, and Joe Judge made it clear he was looking for that in the second half.
You can use Timmy Toughnuts
of the game. Apparently we can. We used it on Get Up and also on Greeny earlier today, so I figured why not keep going with it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So we'll continue with your calls on, of course, your Overreaction Monday. We've got plenty of them to get to, and we will get to them. But also, you might not realize this, but aside from the Giants losing, the Jets actually won yesterday, and it was a bye week. We'll explain. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
Keyshawn.
They're telling him we need to put him on the perimeter, and he's probably just sitting there going, oh, I think we're fine.
Jay Will.
Both those dudes want to beat each other's head in. Everything for them leading up to the game has to be a different type of focus.
And Max.
That's why people are looking at Belichick, because they go, no one does that.
Weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern, followed by Greeny. Mornings on ESPN Radio. Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. So, Bart, the Jets were on a bye week, which means they didn't lose. But in a weird way, they won. Do you know why?
Because
last night's game, Sunday Night Football, was very important.
Yeah, because Jamal, a.k.a. I'm the best. What'd he say?
I don't know. What did he say now?
The Legion of Boom was did not have it. They were boomless again.
How did you see last night? NBC had it was Legion of Boo. They took the M out. Yes. All right. So Geno Smith, the former Jet, did his best but could not lead the Seahawks back to victory. Cannot get them back, and they lost in overtime, 23-20. He fumbles. On what was it, T.J. Watt?
Yeah,
right,
T.J. With the strip Watt. Sack? T.J. Watt, two sacks, one in overtime to end the game to help. You know, and everybody says he's worth every penny of it. You know,
so they fall to 2-4, and that's significant because you know where they finish matters to the Jets because of the Jamal Adams trade. They have Seattle's first round pick.
Yeah, and so Russell Wilson is maybe not coming back for another 3 weeks. Maybe it'd be over with by then. And if they get three, what do you say? They got four losses. They get three. Mm-hmm. If they lose every game since when Russell's out, mm-hmm. then that's seven losses. That should secure at least a top 15 pick for the Jets. That's
right.
Two.
Right. Yeah. Outside of the playoffs, and put you in the top 14.
Jets gonna have a top five pick. They own.
Imagine that. Right. Well, we already see that coming. So again, you can win. You can win without even playing, and that's really how we're judging it these days. Of course, with the New York Jets. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776 is the number. Let's see. Delonte's in Florida on the Giants. Get Delonte.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
So the whole thing with the Giants, Judge, I mean, those cats, they don't even want to play for him from what I'm seeing and, you know, what you look at on the field. You get to the point where you done lost all, like, respect from the players. They don't want to hear what you got to say. Giants getting blew out like that, I'm 45. I haven't been around to see a blowout like that since I might have been in high school sometime.
Yeah, that's so pretty much where you would have been when that happened last at home. You would have been in high school.
Yeah.
So, that's the question. And you know, it's funny too, Delonte, is that you're wondering. I think it's now going to start becoming something that you watch and see what happens with them. Thanks for the call. Is now that where the record is and the injuries and everything else. The fact that on two times that they've celebrated some history, Eli Manning and then this 10th anniversary of the Super Bowl, that there's just no emotion, no nothing. Now, the current players don't have connections to the past. I get that. But there is a certain buzz in the building that you feel. And as a head coach, you kind of want your team ready to play. And I think that's the bigger question, Bart, is this team – I mean, do they respond to what the coach is demanding of them? It just doesn't seem like that. Injuries certainly or not. Let's see. Let's go to Mike in Tennessee. Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Good. I had actually a Cowboys take, but I'll segue to the Giants.
Well, you give us the Cowboys take.
So, if the Cowboys had played Atlanta Week 1 instead of Tampa Bay, and they played Tampa Bay Week 14, and they got this ball rolling that they got going on now, Dallas would be undefeated right now.
Well,
going into the
yeah, of course. I mean, you could probably you could assume that you could assume that. You could also assume that maybe if a field goal goes or doesn't go, all that stuff. I mean, that is easy to assume. But they are, even whether it's 6-0 or 5-1, they are definitely, Mike, a team that you have to now start having in that conversation as a Super Bowl contender. But I guess that's where we now meet that place where Cowboys fans get excited, and yet there's also that anxiety of when does the other shoe drop? When does it happen? When is that moment when it all goes wrong? Because there's a lot of people, and Stephen A. being one of them, like to say, just when the Cowboys look like they're heading in the right direction, something happens. But, Bart, you got to take them serious.
Of course I take them serious. But now the expectations have risen, and now you're trying to figure out, okay, how do they match up against the teams like the Cardinals, like Green Bay, like the Rams, and you start saying, okay, well, listen, yeah, they can win the Super Bowl, but they also can be one and done.
They could be, I guess, that team too. All right, so, Bart, tonight we have Bills-Titans, Monday Night Football. See if the Bills can now continue to match wins with everybody else in the league and stay in the conversation. We got a little baseball for you as well as the Astros go to Fenway, play the Red Sox to see where that series right now is tied at 1. Game 3, always pivotal in these best of sevens. See who gets the win. And then we have the NBA beginning tomorrow, Bart Scott. We talk some hoops coming up tomorrow, baby. Hope you're ready for it.
They play basketball is my favorite sport.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.